Friends, it's verse 17 I want to leave with you tonight as I share a word of testimony. And it's a privilege to do so. Look at verse 17 again. Paul writes, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. Look at our verse one more time. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. You see, when a man accepts Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, he gets a new life. He gets a new longing. Everything is completely new. When a man gets saved, he gets a new father. He gets a new family. He also gets new friends. His company is changed. His character is changed. When a man gets saved, he has a love for God. He has a love for the Bible, a love for the prayer meetings, and even a love for his enemies. His temper, his tongue, his temptations are changed. He's a new creation. The old life has gone. It's what the Bible calls being born again. And I can honestly say tonight that being born again of the Spirit of God is the greatest thing in the world. Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I don't know who's all in this church tonight, but I trust every man, woman, and young person has experienced the new birth. And if not, this can be your night. God has brought you here by divine appointment to change your life forever. As you know now, my name's John Weir, and I'm from the Donegal Road area in Belfast. So I'm surprised you've let me in tonight, to be honest. You can search me on the way out. And it reminds me of doing a little mission in Ballyclare a few months ago. And there's a wee fella, he was only about 7 or 8. He was the same height as myself. And he loved the tractors. And he was telling me all about his tractors. And I says, what type of tractors do we have on the Donegal Road? And he said, stolen ones. So that shows you the type of district that I'm from. And I grew up right beside Windsor Park. And my life from a young age was dominated by football, as you can imagine. And during the 1990s, I had the privilege of joining St. Andrews Boys Club, who were the top youth football team in Northern Ireland. And if you played for St. Andrews Boys Club, you had a good chance of getting scouted to go across the water. And at 15 and 16, I was going to many different clubs. And at 16, I was just about to sign for Chelsea. Chelsea had a wonderful player called Gianfranco Zola. I don't know if any of you remember him. He was an Italian. He was small, I'm small, and he was my boyhood idol. And at 16, I was just about to sign for Chelsea. This was a dream come true. And as I was just about to sign the contract, disaster struck. I hurt my knee, and I had to come home from London, and it was absolutely gutted, as you can imagine. But I recovered from that particular injury, and I then joined Linfield. And again, that was another dream of mine, living in South Belfast to play for Linfield. I was the captain of the Northern Ireland Youth International Team. And David Jeffrey was the Linfield manager. And he says, right, John, I want you now to break into the first team panel. And I was just about to break into the first team panel at 19. And disaster struck again. I hurt my knee again in a bad way. But this time I had to stop playing football completely at 19 years of age. I felt as if my whole world had fallen apart. My friends at that time, many of you will know Stephen Davis and Chris Brunt, well-known footballers from our land, and they were playing in the Premiership, earning thousands of pounds, and here's me at 19, unable to do the thing that I dreamed about and the thing that I loved. But you know, friends, tonight, looking back now as a Christian, I can see that God had a completely different plan for my life. God has a plan for your life tonight. Jeremiah 1:5, God tells the prophet, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. I was chasing after the things of the world and had no thought about my soul. Maybe that's you tonight in this church. You're chasing after the things of the world, but you never think about eternity. You never think about your soul. The Lord Jesus Christ told us in Mark 8:36, he says, for what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? As I travel the country now, I meet many people, and they're selling their soul for the drink. Maybe that's you tonight. They're selling their soul for the bingo halls. They're selling their soul for the nightlife. They're selling their soul for the partying, for their gambling, even what their friends and family will think. I was thinking the other day, hell is going to be full of people who knew the gospel in our wee province. Hell is going to be full of people who knew Bible verses, who went to Sunday school, who came to churches like this for years, who heard some of the greatest preachers in our province, but were never saved. They never made the step. They heard the gospel. They could preach the gospel, but they never came to the Savior. Jeremiah 8:20 tells us the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. And as I travel over this province, I meet so many men and women and young people, and they go to their church. They pay into their church. They go to church regularly. They're involved in church organizations, but they're still not saved. Maybe that's you tonight. You come to this church week after week after week. You hear God's servant preach his heart out, but you're still not moved. I see that all over our province. I'm so thankful I'm here tonight, giving a word of testimony than on my way to hell, living an ungodly life. I don't know where I would be tonight if the Lord hadn't saved me. I could be in some pit of sin. I could be in some den of iniquity. I could even be in hell itself tonight. But I can say, like the Apostle Paul, I am what I am, but by the grace of God. And sad to say, growing up on the Donegal Road, I had no Christian influence whatsoever. Sad to say, before I became a Christian, I was never in a Sunday school. I was never in a children's meeting. I was never in a beautiful church like this. I didn't even own a Bible. Sad to say, I couldn't even have told you one Bible verse. But deep down within my heart, I still believed in God. My life was a mess at 19 years of age after my football ended. My family was a mess. But I still believed in God. Even though I had no Christian upbringing, I still believed in the Creator. When I looked at the stars at night and the birds and the trees and the wonders of creation, I knew there had to be more. And I remember one Sunday night getting onto my knees in my bedroom and crying unto God with all of my heart and saying, God, if you're real, will you help me in my life? If you're real, will you help my family? E.M. Bounds is a great author in prayer. He said these words, there's prayers, but then they're desperate prayers. And maybe there's somebody in this church tonight who is desperate for their life to be changed. That was me. I cried unto God with all of my heart. Jeremiah 29:13, God tells the prophet again, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. And if you cry unto God tonight with all of your heart, your life can be changed. And that was me in that bedroom at 19 years of age. And the way the Lord had planned it, my mother was working with a lovely Christian lady called Peggy Reardon, who worked in the Belfast City Hospital. And Peggy said to my mother, June, I'm praying for your family. Peggy Reardon planted a seed. And she started praying for us. Maybe somebody's praying for you tonight. Maybe your mother's praying for you and you see her as a nuisance. Maybe your father's praying for you and you see him as a nuisance. Maybe a work colleague. Maybe a neighbor. Peggy Reardon, a cleaner in the Belfast City Hospital, said, June, I'm going to start praying for your family. And from that wee woman, that same night, I got on my knees. I went along to Peggy's church. I got directions off the internet, and I walked into a church for the first time in my life and heard the simple message of the gospel. And the preacher that night read from Isaiah 53, and he spoke all about the cross. Listen to these words. You will know it well if you're a Christian. But maybe you've come in here tonight for the first time, just like me. Think about the Savior dying on the middle cross for your sin and shame, for your skeletons in the cupboard, Isaiah penned, but he was wounded. Can you see the Savior tonight? But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Friends, tonight, that night, I realized for the first time that Jesus died for me, a wretch like me, to give me a brand new life. And that's what I needed. I never forget one of the hymns that was sung. I love the old gospel hymns, even though we've been singing tonight. And that night we sang a hymn by Philip Bliss. Man of sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners, and that was me. And maybe this is you tonight. Maybe there's a ruined sinner in this church. Ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place condemned he stood. He sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not afraid to tell you tonight that I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of my heart. And it takes a man to be a Christian. It takes a woman to be a Christian. It takes a young person to be a Christian. To stand up in your workplace, your school, your college, your university and tell people that you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart. And oh, again in our wee province, for a generation of men and women and young people filled with the power of Pentecost, that we might change this nation by the power of the gospel. That's what our land needs, and that's what I'm praying for again. That God would raise up young men and young women with fire in their belly. Because this book still works. Would you say amen if you believe it? There's still power in the gospel. We don't need the gimmicks in the church. We don't need the comedians in the church. We need this book preached under the power of the Holy Spirit. And indeed, that night, that's what I heard. And I wept my way to the foot of the old rugged cross. I remember the next day going to the Faith Mission bookshop in Belfast to buy a Bible, as I never had a Bible. And I started then walking the roads and crying unto God to help me and to keep me because I had nobody else. I remember going to church on my own and sitting there not knowing anybody, but I was hungry for God. I was hungry to learn more about this book. And I couldn't wait to tell people about this man that had changed my life. Do you remember those days when you were first converted? You had the enthusiasm. And you could say, like the hymn writer, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And I laugh looking back now because when I was first saved, sometimes the minister had finished preaching before I found the book in the Bible he was preaching from. Anybody been there? I heard an old boy preaching the other week and he says, imagine meeting Obadiah in heaven and Obadiah saying to you, what did you think of my book? Or imagine meeting Zephaniah in heaven and Zephaniah saying to you, what did you make of my book? It's good to have a systematic reading plan. But I couldn't wait then to start reading the Bible. I couldn't wait to go to the prayer meetings. And ever since I got saved, God put a burden within my heart to win souls. Hard to explain. But Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And I started then to try and reach out towards my family. And after I got saved, my mom got saved, and my dad got saved, and my sister got saved, and my two aunts got saved. My whole family transformed by the gospel. I'm only in third gear tonight, saying it's my first time. I'm behaving myself. But you know, friends, the Lord put a desire within my heart to win souls. And I started to try and reach them. And my mom's from a wee place called Sandy Row. Anybody heard of the Sandy Row? Why are you all laughing? I'll give you a tour of the Sandy Row sometime. But my mum's from the Sandy Row in Belfast, and she went to Sunday school. But she saw the change in my life, and she started coming to church with me. And around 10 years ago, she gave her heart to the Lord. The desire for alcohol left. The desire for cigarettes left. And it's just wonderful to see how the Lord is using her in the Belfast City Hospital. A wonderful miracle of God's grace. And then I started then to try and reach my daddy. And my dad was a man of the world. Maybe that's you tonight. Man of the world. He worked hard for his family. But he went out drinking Friday night, Saturday night. And I used to leave little gospel tracts about the house. You know the way you do to try and reach your loved ones. My daddy read a gospel tract about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Two in a field. Matthew 24. One will be taken, one will be left. Two in a bed. One will be taken, one will be left. And after reading the gospel tract, he couldn't sleep for 3 nights. 3 nights. It's what's called old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction. And that's what I believing. He couldn't eat. He couldn't sleep. He couldn't settle. And he was driving the car down the Ravenhill Road, so much under conviction. And he called out to the Lord and he said, "Lord, would you save my soul? Would you change my life? Would you forgive me of my sins?" And there and then on the Ravenhill Road, he was saved. And his life has been transformed by the gospel. And it's wonderful now to see how the Lord is using him and my mother in the Belfast City Hospital. To be honest, they don't do much work. They're always witnessing about the Lord. You see, that's their mission field. And your workplace should be your mission field. Not everybody can go to India. Not everybody can go to China. But their workplace is their mission field. Friend, tonight, can I ask you a wee question? If the Lord came back tonight, would you rise in the air to meet him? Only you know the life that you're living. Only you know if you're truly converted. My dad was a man of the world, and he knew he wasn't ready for the coming of the Lord. And you'd read Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13 about the signs of the second coming. They're all around us. And Jesus says, "Watch and be ready. For the Son of Man cometh in an hour that you think not." Even up in that gallery tonight, would you rise if the Lord came? Imagine husbands and wives are going to be divided. Brothers and sisters are going to be divided. Sons and daughters are going to be divided at the second coming of the Lord. But you see, he's given people in here tonight time and space to repent. And he says that my spirit shall not always strive with man. He said that to Noah's world, Genesis 6 and 3. My spirit will not always strive with man. And I've seen men lately at different missions. I've been taken so close to the kingdom. So close. But they still haven't made the step. Could I encourage God's people here tonight? Keep praying for your loved ones. Keep praying for your loved ones. That son, that daughter, that husband, that wife, mother, father, keep praying for them. Keep praying for them. Always be at the prayer meeting, praying for your loved ones. Then my sister got wonderfully saved. Michelle was going through a tough time in her life. And she came to church one Sunday night with me. And around 9 years ago, she gave her heart to the Lord. And it's just wonderful to see the change in her life. She's living in a wee place called Port of Oge. Anybody ever heard of Port of Oge? Away down the Ards Peninsula, and it's wonderful now to see her bringing up her wee children in the ways of the Lord. And then my two aunties, I was taking a little a gospel mission in Finicky a few years ago, and my two aunts stayed behind at 60 years of age. And the two of them got on their knees, and they wept their way to Calvary. Oh, friends, indeed, I thank the Lord for what he has done in my family tonight. And 5 years ago, I gave up my job. I was working as a classroom assistant in a school in Newton Abbey. And the Lord just burned my heart to win souls so much. And I said, "Lord, wherever you want me to go in this province to win souls, I will go." And 5 years ago, I stepped out in faith. I lived by faith for the last 5 years. And indeed, the Lord meets my every need. And I had 7 gospel missions this year, 8 gospel missions next year, all over the province. And it's a privilege to travel the country spreading the good news of the gospel. Henry Clay Morrison said, "Don't stoop to be prime minister if God has called you to preach the gospel." And I always say, who would want to be the prime minister anyway? Never forget, brothers and sisters, you're the son of a king tonight if you're saved. You're the daughter of a king, and it's a privilege to serve him. I never felt led to go to the Bible college as such. My Bible college was on the streets of Dublin. Went down there every Saturday after I got saved, witnessing the Legion of Mary and the Mormons and the Muslims, on. And that was a tremendous Bible college for me on the streets of Dublin. And indeed, it's just a privilege to go all over the country. I used to meet a lot of men who were in Mountjoy Prison. When I go down to Dublin, I don't get down as much now with all the missions, but I used to meet a lot of men in Mountjoy Prison. Anybody ever heard of Mountjoy Prison? Maybe I should have said, anybody been in Mountjoy? Anybody been in Mountjoy Prison? But anyway, a lot of the men down there, they will say to me, "Heaven is full of good people, there's no chance for me." I tell them, "Heaven is full of bad people who were made good before they got there. There's only one good tonight. There's only one Savior tonight. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He states, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Friend, tonight, let God use you. If God can use somebody like me, he can use anybody. A missionary was telling me this story about an old woman in Iran. Listen to this, your attention is wonderful. An old woman in Iran just got saved, but she can't read. She goes onto the bus and she makes sure it's safe. She brings out her New Testament with different verses underlined, and she sits down beside somebody on the bus and asks them to read the verses to her, and many are getting saved through this wee woman. She says, I'm a wee bit deaf, so the person reads the verses louder, and the next thing, the whole bus can hear the verses. Isn't that fantastic? You know your gift. You know your talent. You know your ability. I know mine. I think about the day I'm going to stand before my Savior and give an account of my life. Do you ever think about that day? I long to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. When the Posada, there was somebody in this meeting, and the Lord said to you, depart from me, I never knew you. The Bible says, appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Fanny Crosby was blind, yet she wrote over 8,000 hymns. D.L. Moody worked in a shoe store. Amy Carmichael suffered from a disease of her nervous system. Friend, let God use you tonight. And don't, listen to me now, don't waste your life serving the devil. I could tell you story after story after story of getting phone calls to see men and women on their deathbeds panicking because they're going out into eternity and they've done nothing for Christ. Done nothing for Christ. And they start to panic at the last minute. Son, where am I going? I've wasted my life, caught up with my sin. But God take the like of me. Just last week I was with a man in the Royal Victoria Hospital dying, and nobody has been to visit him. He says, my mates aren't with me now, John, when I'm dying. I says, you're right. He says, thanks so much for calling to see me. I says, Andy, I'm praying for you that you'll put your trust in the Lord. He let me read with him and pray with him. But you know what he says? I says, what about getting saved today? He says, not yet. That's the devil's biggest lie, isn't it? You've plenty of time. Keep putting it off. And maybe saying that to you tonight. I've plenty of time. Keep putting it off. Keep putting it off. Good meeting, but not for me tonight. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And if he speaks to your heart tonight, friend, hug it on your knees and cry for mercy. There's a man dying, and his mates haven't been to see him, not saved. And he's on the verge of eternity. And the same day I got another call to see another man that was dying. We country farmers, I would say, way out Rathdrylland. And he came to the tent mission to took in Dromara. And I got the conversation around the spiritual things. I said, Billy, were you ever saved? He says, son, he says, I was saved at the best mission you could ever attend. I says, where was that? He said, my mother's knee. My mother's knee. And as a boy of 13, he got on his knees and he asked the Lord to save him. And there he's maybe a man about 80 now. Hasn't long to live. But see the difference? He knows he's going home. The Christian doesn't pass away. The Christian goes home. And they even said of old John Wesley's converts that they died well. Because they knew they were going home. See the difference in these two men? One saved and one lost. And they're both on the verge of eternity. Friends, tonight it's great to be saved. Even as we were coming down the carriageway, there was a car accident. The car was over the ditch and we missed it by about 5 minutes. I could have been in eternity tonight. I might even have got to this church. You might not see tomorrow. And I trust if God was to take you tonight, or even if the Lord was to come back, where would you be? Sense the quietness here. God, the Holy Ghost, is walking these aisles. And he is searching your heart tonight. And only you know. Only you know where you stand. You can dress the part. You can look the part. You can carry the Bible. But still not be walking with the Savior. Jesus is here tonight. Jesus is here. Charles Wesley penned that he can break the power of canceled sin. He can set the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. And his blood availed for me. Stuart Hamlin wrote, "It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do." There's 7:30. Thank you for your wonderful, wonderful attention. We will finish with our text. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And there's a little chorus that sums up my testimony, and this is what it is. I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, maybe this is you tonight in this church. Heartaches and broken pieces and ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch is what I long for. You have given life to me. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you get saved tonight? Will you come to the cross tonight? Maybe you're backslidden. Northern Ireland is full of backsliders. Prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Maybe that's you. You made a profession years ago. I pray that like the prodigal son that you will come to yourself. But God had to send the mighty famine to get his attention. Maybe God is going to have to send a crisis or a famine into your life to get your attention. And he came to himself and the Father was waiting for him. The Father's waiting for you tonight. And I pray that you will come. What's the old hymn writer say? Turn while the Savior in mercy is waiting. Steer for the harbor light, for how do you know that your soul may be drifting over the dead line tonight? Hard to close, isn't it? Every eye's on me. Believe God is speaking. And for those of us that are saved, brother and sister, come on, let's get on fire in these days. Let's serve the Lord. Let's reach our province. Let's reach our generation with the gospel. Because there's only one life. It'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. May God bless you tonight. Thank you for listening. And I give the Lord all the glory for what he has done in my life and family.